Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
My first encounter with philosophy as a discipline was in the spring of 1947. I was a junior at Andrews University at Berrien Springs, Michigan, and took a course called Philosophy of Religion. The teacher was Walter Straw, a very capable and interesting man. When I took that course, I learned a vocabulary I did not even know existed until then. We discussed such topics as epistemology, politics, logic, ontology, teleology, metaphysics, ethics, axiology, aesthetics, and many more topics. Since that experience in the late 1940s, I have read extensively in the field of philosophy. I have taught a college course in philosophical apologetics. I am intensely interested in the entire field of philosophy. But how can a gospel preacher and a Christian have any association with philosophy, since Paul warned the Colossians to beware lest we be spoiled by philosophy? Does Paul mean that all philosophy and all philosophers are evil? I gave a long list of sub-disciplines in the field of philosophy, but I want to dwell for just a moment on one of these, ethics. The word ethics comes from the Greek ethike and means understanding right and wrong and doing right. Is it inappropriate for Christians to discuss what is good and evil, right and wrong? You know it is not, because the Bible does that in both the Old Testament and in the New. One of the severest criticisms of some of the early Christians are recorded in Hebrews. But strong meat belongs to them who are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. Hebrews 5:14. The truth is, all the topics I listed are legitimate concerns for Christians. In fact, philosophy, like theology, is interested in what are commonly called the ultimate questions. What was man's origin? Why are we on this earth? Where are we going when this life is over? Or are we going anywhere? How do we know? Is there a God, and what is his interest in mankind? Incidentally, many of these questions are philosophical in nature, but human philosophy has no answers to them. The origin of man, for example, cannot be determined by man's speculations, whether those speculations are philosophical or scientific. No theory of evolution has any explanation for the origin of the universe, including man. And the theories of evolution, all of them, are philosophical guesses, not scientific fact, regardless of the contentions of the evolutionists. In fact, if you want a reason why the Bible generally condemns philosophy, you could find no better than the theory of evolution. It is not supported by any concrete evidence. But what about the so-called missing links? Have you not seen these in museums and in science books? There is not one fossil which even begins to prove the theory of evolution. Tragically, some of the fossils have been altered, the Piltdown man, for example, to try to prove evolution. It is vain speculation and very dangerous. This is just one example which undergirds Paul's warning about being spoiled through philosophy. Paul pleads with his brothers and sisters at Colossae, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy." The word beware means to take heed, to watch out, to be careful. Paul did not want the Colossians to be made the spoils of war by vain speculation. The word spoil means to carry off as booty or as spoils of war. The devil is at war with God. We do not want him to carry us off as captives in that battle against God.